Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the EID Parry India Q1 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Neha Mehta from DAM Capital Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Hi. A very good afternoon to all. We thank the EID Parry management for giving us the opportunity to host this call. On the call today, we have with us Mr. Suresh, who is the Managing Director, Mr. Muthiah Murugappan, who is the Whole-time Director and the CEO, Mr. Suresh Kannan, the Whole-time Director, Parry Sugars Refinery India Private Limited, Mr. A. Sridhar, CFO, and Mr. Biswa Rath, Company Secretary. I would now like to hand over the call to EID Parry management for the opening comments, followed by which we will continue with the question-and-answer session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Good afternoon, all. I'm Suresh here. It gives me pleasure to be part of this analyst call to share an update on the global as well as Indian scenario and explain the Q1 performance of the company. On the global scenario, global sugar balance for 2022-23 is at a surplus of 377,000 tons against the previously estimated deficit of 2 million metric tons raw value, majorly due to increase of estimated production from Brazil. Buoyed by lower estimates from India, the raw sugar futures touched the decade high of $0.27 per pound in the month of April. Amidst ample supply from Brazil, the raw sugar futures are now trading at around $0.24 per pound as of last week of July. As far as the year 2023-24 is concerned, as per the latest estimates, the global surplus is predicted to be around 4.8 million metric tons. The supply concerns due to uneven rains in Thailand and India is partially offset by an increased estimate from Central South Brazil. Nevertheless, given a potential El Niño condition, the weather continues to be a very important factor to be monitored in the following months. On the Indian scenario, with the late onset of monsoon and deficit of rainfall in key growing states, especially Karnataka and Maharashtra, ISMA have released the latest production estimates to 328 lakh metric tons for the year 2022-23. This is after considering 40 lakh metric ton diversion to ethanol, which means the total production for the year shall be at around 368-370 lakh metric tons. So far as the ethanol blending program is concerned, the government is targeting an average of 14% blending by November 23. Though there are challenges in uptake of ethanol in some OMC depots and in allotment of FCI rice for grain distilleries, these are a short-term phenomenon, and we are positive that these would be fixed for good very shortly. As may be known to you all, there is an upward revision of FRP announced recently. The FRP for a base recovery of 10.25% is fixed at ₹3,150 per metric ton against the 3050 per metric ton of last year. We are hopeful that the government would consider an upward revision of ethanol price in commensurate with the increase in the FRP. On Q1 performance, the standalone revenue from operations for the quarter ended 30th June 23 was ₹698 crore in comparison to the corresponding quarter of previous year of ₹719 crores. Loss before depreciation, interest, and taxes. EBITDA for the quarter was ₹15 crores compared to a profit of ₹11 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous year before exceptional items. Standalone loss after tax for the quarter was ₹46 crores against a profit of ₹13 crores in the corresponding quarter of previous year. The profitability of sugar and cogeneration segments were lower in Q1 23-24 as compared to the corresponding quarter of previous year on account of reduction in export volumes due to restrictions imposed by the government and reduced power realizations as well. However, the company has managed to crush higher cane volumes of around 4 lakh metric ton in the current quarter as compared to the 2.7 lakh metric ton in the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The distillery segment has performed better owing to higher realizations and increased volumes attributable to the new 120 KLPD dual-feed distillery facility in Sangli. Further, the company has commenced the grain-based operations also in Sangli distillery during the quarter. The standalone nutraceutical segment has registered a loss during the current quarter on account of reduced sales due to the existing certification issues in Europe. I would now request our CFO, Mr. Sridhar, to explain you on the segment-wise financial performance. Over to you, Mr. Sridhar. Thank you.
Thank you, Suresh, and good afternoon to you all. I'd like to share with you the key operating parameters for the quarter one. The crushing operations were carried out in our Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh sugar mills during the quarter, and would like to share the quantitative details. We crushed around 4.01 lakh metric tons when compared to the corresponding quarter of previous year, which was at 2.69 lakh metric tons. The recovery for the first quarter has been at 9.05% compared to the previous year, which was at 9.35%. We produced around 33,000 metric tons of sugar as against the corresponding period of previous year, which was at 24,000 metric tons. The cane landed cost was 3,267 per metric ton, against corresponding quarter of previous year, which was at 3,221 metric tons per metric ton. For the quarter one, we achieved a sales volume of around 1.21 lakh metric tons, of which the domestic volumes were at 1.14 lakh metric tons, and exports were at 7,000 metric tons. And the previous year sales volumes were at 1.44 lakh metric tons, of which the domestic was 99,000 metric tons, and exports were at 45,000 metric tons. Selling price of sugar for the quarter was around rupees 36.30 per kg compared to the previous year selling price of rupees 35.18 per kg. The closing stock at the end of June was at 1.57 lakh metric tons as against the previous year same period, which was at around 1.30 lakh metric tons. The revenue from sugar operations in quarter one, the revenue from sugar segment was rupees 473 crores against a corresponding period of previous year, which was at 526 crores. The drop was mainly on account of lower export sales volume. All FRPs were paid on time. With reference to our cogen operations, in quarter one, we generated a power of around 522 lakh units as against the previous year, which was at 869 lakh units. In quarter one, we exported power around 243 lakh units as against previous year, which was 584 lakh units. The average power tariff was rupees 4.05 per unit as against the previous year, which was at rupees 6.93 per unit. The revenue from cogen operations were rupees 19 crores against previous year, which was at rupees 64 crores. In the distillery segment, we sold around 343 lakh liters during quarter one compared to the previous year sales volume of 213 lakh liters, of which ENA was 121 lakh liters, and the previous year ENA volumes were at 99 lakh liters. The ethanol volumes were at 222 lakh liters, and the previous year ethanol volumes were at 114 lakh liters. Our price realizations from domestic from distillery operations was rupees 61.08 per liter against previous year realization of rupees 57.82 per liter. The revenue from distillery operations was rupees 209 crores compared to rupees 125 crores during the previous year. As far as the new business is concerned, in Q1, the turnover from Indian operations was around rupees 5 crores as against rupees 13 crores in the previous year. At the consolidated level, the Q1 Nutra business turnover was at rupees 44 crores against corresponding previous year, which was at rupees 64 crores. The employee benefit expenses for Q1 were at rupees 49.81 crores as against 42.12 crores. The increase in costs is on account of annual salary increase, headcount increase due to expansions in distillery operations, and strengthening of the team to better manage the safety-related areas. Our other expenses for Q1 increased by rupees 3 crores, that is from rupees 130 crores in current year to rupees 127 crores. This incremental cost is on account of increased production and consumption of higher power and fuel and repairment maintenance. On the finance cost, for quarter one, we were at rupees 12 crores compared to the previous year, which was at rupees 8 crores. This increase in finance cost was on account of long-term loan pertaining to the ethanol project expansions and increase in working capital interest rates and higher borrowings in the current year. The capex spend in Q1 was around rupees 47 crores. This increase this includes the spends incurred at Haliyal 120 KLPD for rupees 26 crores. All the capex investing currently are towards capacity expansions, value additions, safety environment, and productivity improvements. The standalone loan position as of June 2023 was at 186 crores for the long-term loans, and the previous year numbers was around 30 crores. The increase in loan position was by about 30 crores over the previous year. And the short-term borrowings were at 243 crores, that is an increase of about 109 crores. The decrease of rupees 109 crores over the previous year. The increase in long-term loans is on account of the capacity expansions. On the refinery business, the production volumes for quarter one was at 1.36 lakh metric tons as against the previous year production of 2.25 lakh metric tons. The refinery's sugar sales volume was low in quarter one of 2023 for 1.33 lakh metric tons compared to 2.02 lakh metric tons in Q1 of last year. And this was due to issues at destination market. So we utilized this opportunity to prepone the annual plant maintenance by shutting down in quarter one. Further, the mark-to-market loss was on the higher side compared to previous year. The PBT for quarter one was a loss of rupees 96.52 crores as against the previous year same period loss of 6.32 crores. The loan position of the refinery business, the long-term borrowings continue to remain at 200 crores. The short-term borrowings as of June 2023 was at 596 crores. The borrowings as of March 31st, 2023 was at 620 crores. The consolidated level, the June 2023 loan position, excluding the loan which has been given by EAD Parry to refinery business, was at 1,226 crores as against rupees 1,328 crores as of March 2023. We would like to keep the floor open for any questions to be answered from our end.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on the attached telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Akshay Ajmera from Nirzar Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity, sir. My question is regarding the branded sugar which we intend to sell. So are we selling our branded sugar at some discount to our competitors, and how much is the margin or impact on margins, you know, and are we planning to reduce those discounts? That's number one. And second, sir, this quarter, as in the opening remarks, it was mentioned that cane crushing was higher by almost 50% YOY. But we still have made, you know, losses on account of reduced power realizations. So could you please help us understand why this substantial rise in cane compensated for the decrease in power earnings? These are my two sets.
Can you repeat the last portion of the question? Last question.
So, cane crushing this quarter was almost 50% higher than, you know, previous quarter in the same years. So, the realizations of powers were weak. So, could you help us understand why the substantial rise in the cane crushing could not compensate for, you know, decrease in the power earning? And also, if you can share the outlook on the power prices going forward. Thank you.
Yeah, so Akshay, hi, good afternoon. From the branded sugar perspective, we don't sell at a discount to our competitors. In fact, we're a you know, well-known, more premium brand. So we do get premiums from prevailing trade prices of only 2 to 3 rupees at the entry level. But of course, value-added products which trade higher up the ladder. So that's our approach. So we're not at a discount. This business is profitable, but the focus on this business is to really grow distribution and then improve the depth and then subsequently the breadth of our products and product placement. In terms of your second question, yes, cane crushing was higher, and cane crushing was higher. We started in Tamil Nadu, the season started earlier, and we did have the season in AP, which extended a little longer than we had estimated. In terms of the losses on power generation, the number of units of power generation itself was much less, and that was because of a couple of reasons. We had a shorter season in Karnataka, if you recall, last year in the Q4 of FY23. To that extent, you won't have as much bagasse available, which is a byproduct which is fired in the boiler for cogeneration. Also, for some of the bagasse which is available, we realized we had good realization through bagasse sale. So, which is why we chose to sell the bagasse into the open market, because we got good realization. So, both of these combined together resulted in lower power generation. Hence, the revenue from the power segment is also lower as compared to the same quarter last year. In terms of the outlook for power prices, I mean, they are obviously trading lower than what pricing we had last year. Last year was quite encouraging for power prices. So we'll have to, these trends will probably hold. I don't want to comment or speculate too much on how the prices would trade in the future.
Just a quick follow-up, sir. You said that the profits were not in the in the power sector because of diversion to bagasse. So could you explain a little bit more on that?
No, see, when you crush sugarcane, your bagasse is the byproduct. Okay, so bagasse gets fired in the boiler, which helps generate power. When you have lower sugarcane crushing, you generate less bagasse. So you really don't have bagasse to fire in the boiler. So then you can't generate power. You end up just picking up power from the grid. Also, when you have that bagasse lying around, when the open market offers you good realizations as opposed to firing in your own boiler, you will realize it in the open market. That's what we did. Hence, power generation unit fell.
I got it, sir. So where did that profit, the selling of the bagasse profit will sit under? Which division then?
Under the sugar
segment. The sugar segment.
Sugar segment, okay. But sugar segment numbers are also very poor. So that is why I'm trying to understand this.
So the sugar segment, if you look at Q1 last year, we exported 45,000 tons of material. We had a good export program. Of course, the export program, you know, is not there now. We had some spillover volumes of contracted exports, which we did about 6,000 to 7,000 tons. To that extent, when you export at a substantially higher realization than the prevailing domestic prices. So you will, your revenue will grow. Your revenue will be much higher compared to what you would get when you're selling in domestic. So that's the delta that we see on the sugar segment. And if you're selling at a higher realization, you realize more profit as well, right? So that's the reality.
All right, sir. I'll join back with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ajit, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my first question is, can you please quantify the loss in the sugar business on account of reduction in export volumes? And the second question is, sir, we are planning with strategic expansion in the FMCG, which usually require high advertisement and promotional expenses to create the brand. So how the expansion into FMCG business will be funded, and whether the new brand will be homegrown or are we planning to acquire other brands? And sir, third and the last question is, can you also please talk more about on nutraceutical business, which is making losses, and when can we expect this to be turned around, and what are our strategies with respect to that?
So yeah, so let me just cover the, your second two questions, where is getting you your data points on the first question on the sugar export related. So on the FMCG expansion, you know, this is obviously being done in-house at this point in time. So I think at the right time, we will give the right structure to the business, you know, the business with the ethanol blending program, I think we should have some good EBITDA generation and internal accruals in the business going forward. And I think once we structure the FMCG vertical appropriately, we will also look at, you know, look at financial partnerships to help help us grow this business. But all of this in the right time. We will be open to growing this business organically as well as inorganically. The current sweetener line runs under the Parry brand. From a branding perspective, again, if we we'll be open to organically looking at new brands. And of course, if we take inorganic routes in the future, I'm sure we'll be able to buy in. It will anyway entail new brands coming into our fold. You had a question on the nutraceutical business. The nutraceutical business registered much lower turnover and losses in this quarter, the standalone business. And that is because of some certification issues in Europe. The certifying body was the control union was banned. The body which certifies all our nutraceutical exports to Europe was banned by the European Union authorities. So we are being recertified by another certifying body, and we are expected to get back on track in H2. So that's from a standalone perspective. From a consult perspective, we have the U.S. business, Valensa. There we have been in the red because we've been running a D2C business called Flomentum, which we launched about 3 or 4 years ago. That business has taken time to scale. We have actually ever since chosen to scale back on Flomentum in order to, you know, put the, in order to sort of put the business on a better path. We had some outside in views on the business, and I think the focus now will be in improving the margins and profitability of the business. You will see this traction play out in H2. From a broader nutraceutical perspective, I think we have sort of commented publicly that we are strategically reviewing the business. That review does continue, and we have outcomes from that. We will aspire to put the business on a better strategic path. In terms of the delta on the exports front, because we didn't have exports this year, that's a 12 crore impact on the bottom line, because we had 45,000 tons of exports last year at a higher realization, significantly higher realization to prevailing domestic prices, and that's the 12 crore difference. It really benefited us in Q1 of FY23.
Okay. So can I just take one follow-up that what is the current turnover and margin in FMCG business, sir?
So we, as I said, you know, we run this business within the auspices of the company. We do run, you know, we do have internal data points. It's a profitable business, but I think it'll only be responsible on my part to really talk about margins once the business is, you know, structured independently and appropriately. So I wouldn't like to comment on this at this point in time.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. I'll join back with you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Gautam Dedia from Nalanda Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so on your website, you've launched some rice, millet products. Just want to understand, what's the gross margin in that category?
So, Gautam, the launch of rice, millets, you know, the whole pulses, dals, that's a test and a trial launch. It's a pilot of only in Chennai, and we figured it's better to learn about these categories, you know, in a lower cost and a more incisive manner. By actually doing a pilot, we have a good team in-house which has been able to execute this in quick time. So at the pilot phase, you know, I think we're really learning and gaining insights and data points from the market to sharpen our proposition and then do a much more larger scale launch. So, you know, I think with the pilot, it's not really prudent to discuss margins. Of course, the industry has you know, certain margins, which obviously we will aspire towards matching in steady state or and even beating.
Okay, so just a broader question. So in the annual report, you mentioned you want to get into the food category. So just how are you going to think about what category you want to get into? So is it based on market size, competition level, penetration level in those categories in terms of organized share? Or minimum margins of the category, if you could just throw some light on your thought process.
So Gautam, from a, you know, broader perspective, we did some understanding of India per se. I mean, there are certain categories which are going to or certain segments which are going to drive you know, GDP growth and big contributors towards GDP growth over the next sort of 5 to 10 years. Consumer you know, e-commerce lifestyle is a big element in that sort of puzzle. So given that we are from the sweetness perspective in the consumer market, we decided to look at this segment and see how we could go deeper. The average kitchen bill in India, you know, is about 8,000 odd rupees, you know, give or take. Of course, bills will be higher and lower, but that's the average. So, you know, sweetener is a small share of that. With the saliency of the brand, how can we get a larger share of the kitchen bill? Because that obviously synergizes with distribution, synergizes with our consumer base, and will bring synergies with the marketing mix. That's one way we thought about it. We thought about categories which are not fully branded. You know, if you look at salt, there are some large players there, and they're branded almost 95% odd. But there are categories which are not, where the branding levels are sub 30%. In fact, in the sweetener category, the branding saliency is only 8%. So we looked at where there is a good headroom, where there are tailwinds to grow. And that's why we looked at piloting and learning about categories such as millets, dals, pulses, rice. So that's how we've been thinking about it. In all of these categories, sweetener and sweet products included, I think there will be a base level of product which will come at a certain gross margin, but we'll give you volume and scale. As you take the journey further, there will be a sort of value addition products, and we have that already with Jaggery and with Amrit Brown Sugar, wherein you grow substantially up on the gross margin. And I think you'll need that combination to have a successful product range.
Okay. And just one last question. So on the refinery, this has been a very challenging division for us. So can you just highlight what is the thinking going forward? and when do we have a stop loss, you know, to say?
On the operating part of the refinery, I would like to add the following comments. One is the first quarter had been weak for the refinery, principally on account of the war in Sudan. So we had contracted sales volume, the trade basically deferred this volume into the second quarter, and therefore we had to downsize our operations during the first quarter of the year. Going forward, we are looking at a scenario in which the white premiums are holding strong. There is a possibility that there will not be any exports from India in the coming season. And on the cost side, we are seeing softening of energy prices and material prices. So it is we are looking at a possibility of recovery in the second, third, and fourth quarter of the year. That's on the operating part of the refinery.
Yeah, just to add, Suresh this side, we are also evaluating other augmentation of capabilities for the refinery business in terms of we have the international freight, then there is international sourcing and the pole premium optimization opportunities. Those are the areas we are evaluating any augmentation of capabilities through proper collaboration with any of the international trade houses. That exercise is on. Operationally, we are proud to say that we are one of the most cost-efficient refiners in the world. So there are other areas we are planning to augment the capabilities. As Suresh was mentioning, hopefully we should be able to see the light very soon.
Okay, and what is the M2M loss you booked this quarter?
Yeah, the mark-to-market net impact for the financial for the first quarter has been about $3.6 million.
$10.6 million.
$3.6 million.
$3.6 million. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anushree from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. I have two questions around the refinery business. Am I audible?
Ma'am, I'm sorry to interrupt, but your audio is not audible. Requesting you to please use the handset mode while speaking.
Hi, I'm on handset mode. So, I have two questions around the refinery business. Am I audible now?
Yeah, not yet. No.
Ma'am, I'm sorry, your audio is not audible. Requesting you to please reconnect from a different number and you can join back in the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ritvik Seth from One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. Sir, a few questions. Firstly, sir, in the annual report, we've spoken extensively about, you know, becoming and transforming into a food company over the long term. So you mentioned...
Your voice is not clear, sir. Can you please be a bit louder?
Okay, is this better?
Yeah, it's better now.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so in the annual report, we have spoken extensively about transforming into a food company over the long term and getting more wallet share in the kitchen space of the consumer. So, you know, you mentioned a few things already in the call. So, you know, can you give us some insights into where we plan to foray into what segment, what kind of capex we are envisaging, and what is our strategy to scale up? You mentioned that we are doing a pilot program in Chennai by launching dal and pulses and a couple of other products. So, and how far are we from starting this journey, or we have already started the journey? If you can give us some more color on this.
Yeah, so I think Ritvik, I covered the segments and the pilot in my answer to a previous question. So in terms of the scale-up strategy, see, I think with sweeteners, we're already on the way. I mean, the retail, if you look at our investor presentation from a couple of months ago, the retail segment contributes close to 30%, I mean, I think 28 to be precise, of our overall, you know, sweetener volume. That will, you know, quite easily cross, you know, quite substantially cross 30% as we conclude this financial year. So So with sweetener in the consumer segment, we're already on our way. We're in about 1.5 lakh outlets, and we'll inch closer to 2 lakh this year. So it's not a large distribution. That distribution, I think, really has to grow substantially higher. And I think as that distribution grows, we will start looking at categories and start foraying into categories wherein we, you know, wherein we see opportunity. And I talked about some of that in the answer to the previous question. So I think we'll use that, you know, retail base. So, like, that's why we're looking at millets, looking at pulses, looking at dals, looking at other sweet products, wherein products also synergize and synchronize with the distribution that we're already building. I mean, D2C, for example, is one thing which we will not look at because we don't have distribution or we don't have that muscle which has already been built. So the scale-up will really happen to get more share of the kitchen shelf and to leverage the synergies that the current marketing mix already provides. And in categories wherein which there is a headroom for growth and there is a headroom for branding. See, branding the unbranded is something which we have understood well with the sweetener category. I think prior to us, there was no one really branding this category. It's largely an FMCG experience team which leads this initiative. And that's obviously a muscle which we've built very well in terms of branding an unbranded segment. And I think that those are areas wherein which we will jump in and grow.
Okay. And any you know capex that we plan to do, or this will be an asset light model on more of
largely an asset light model. I mean, with millets and the pulses, for example, we have no factories, no machines. It's all we control the source, the sourcing, the supply chain, the quality control. All of course the branding and distribution. All of that expertise is us, and that's largely a people. And a systems oriented approach. So it will be an asset light business.
Okay, got it. Okay, so just taking a step back, you know, if I look at our business, our core sugar business is there, including ethanol business. Then we have the refinery, which is an adjacency of being a converter and selling it. Then we have nutraceutical, which we've been trying to scale up, and now this is a fourth engine for us to you know get into more of a food company. So where is our you know core strategy to expand and nutraceutical? It's not scaled up. Refinery also we're trying to turn it around. So you know how should one look at our business? Out of the four, where will be our focus in terms of putting in more effort, time effort as a top management? If you can throw some light on that, please.
So, Ritvik, I think asset allocation perspective, you've seen a substantial amount of asset allocation going into the bioethanol business over the last 3 years. And I won't spend more time discussing that. I think the next wave of substantial asset allocation will go into the consumer side as we gear the business up to, you know, function independently and then subsequently grow and scale. That's where asset allocation will be channeled into. Of course, the core ethanol business and the core operations will, you know, see this sort of incremental capexes from a more, you know, run-of-the-mill maintenance kind of area. From the refinery and the Nutra piece, as I said, I think as Suresh alluded to the refinery piece, that, you know, we're working to, it needs partnerships, and I think we're working to, you know, bring in those partnerships to ensure the business is on the right strategic path. Similarly, from a Nutra perspective, you know, we have got some outside in views in terms of helping the business trade better, and that's why we sort of you know, discontinued the Flomentum operations, for example, in the U.S., so that the business can now, you know, focus on its core, improve its margins, and then I think ultimately all of this will really enable us to put the business on a better strategic path. So I think that's what we're sort of focused on. But asset allocation thus far has been bioethanol. It may see some incremental asset allocation just to keep things going and, you know, improve efficiencies, make incremental progress. But I think the next wave will ideally be consumer.
Okay. And sorry, just to probe this further, you know, on the refinery bit, if you look at our working capital employed and the loans that we have put in, it's about 800 crores as of date. So is there any thought process, of the top management that, you know, if we are able to scale down this business, focus our capabilities and financial capital to the food transformation of the food business, you know, one segment more which is...
Mr. Seth, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but there's a lot of disturbance coming from your audio, requesting you to please use the handset mode while speaking.
Okay, I'm on the handset. Is this better?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sorry. So is there a thought process of, you know, winding down the refinery business or divesting the refinery business so that we can have more financial capital and management, top management time to focus on transforming the company FMCG / food business over the medium to long term?
So Ritvik, you know, with the nature of operations, it's hard to close some of these businesses overnight. I think we all, I guess, understand that. Perhaps I'll just sort of only say, as we were alluding to earlier on, the business needs partnership. You know, if we go back in history, this was set up along with the Cargill Group, who brought in that global commodity and that global trade expertise. And, you know, they moved on, and we have ever since run this business independently. We haven't had success. I think let's face it. But I do believe, and the team also believes, and that we do need to bring in partnerships as we should talk about. And I think that's the focus. And perhaps once we're there, then the path becomes. Becomes clearer after that. So I'll say only this much. I think we have to do the sort of right things for the business in order to put on a better strategic path.
Okay. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind all participants to please use the handset mode while speaking for better audio clarity. The next question is from the line of Rajakumar Vaidyanathan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So I have a couple of questions. So within the states that we operate, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, and Maharashtra, I just want to know, given the deficient monsoon in Karnataka and Tamil Nadu, would there be any risk in terms of the volume of crushing that we expect in the upcoming years?
Yeah, as things stand, the rains have been delayed in Karnataka. July has been better. August is, keeping our fingers crossed how it is going to fan out. As things stand, the estimates will be similar to what ISMA has been doing for the next season. There could be a drop of yield in Karnataka to the extent of 3 to 4 tons per acre. That's what we are anticipating. Tamil Nadu, as such, there is standing cane available. Weather conditions are not so favorable. In terms of the recoveries, what we used to across Tamil Nadu, the recoveries have dropped some 30-40 basis points compared to the previous year. So this is all up to the nature. We have to wait and see. Maybe next call we'll have a better idea.
Okay. And sir, do you have any ethanol plants in Tamil Nadu? Are there any plans to, because I saw there is a new policy the government has issued.
Yeah, the upcoming distillery at Nellikuppam is going to produce ethanol out of syrup and supply. We are the first ones who will be taking advantage of the ethanol blending policy of the government, and will be executing that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Chetan Falke from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Anushri this side. So I have a few questions around the refinery business. Am I audible now?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So around the refinery business, So, sir, our peer Renuka is making money for last 5 to 6 years in the same business, while we as investors consider Murugappa Group to be very astute and prompt. So what is causing continuous losses in this business is the first question I want to understand. And as shareholders, we want to also understand that where are we at a disadvantage compared to our competitors. So we have lost around 400 crores in this business in the last 4 years. So when spreads have been high for one or two years, but we were not able to make money. At the same time, when spreads were low, also we were taking a hit on our bottom line. So just want to understand where are we at. So what are we looking at in this business?
Yeah, I would like to answer it this way. With due respect to the competition you referred, I think it is also not a fair statement that Renuka has made money as far as the refining business is concerned over last 5 years. That apart, I think I understand the spirit of your question is more from a competitive landscape of advantage and disadvantage. The principal difference between Renuka and us is basically with respect to the geography, because we are located on the East Coast, which is more served by the break bulk vessels rather than container vessels. The container vessels typically reach to non-aggregated customer base, which typically has a higher margin realization for the sugar that we sell compared to break bulk, which is typically moved in large vessels and therefore with the bulk buying and distribution by large trade houses. Second one, of course, is of course the differential freights between the East Coast and West Coast of the country, which is quite well established, as a result of which sugar being a traded commodity, is sold on a landed cost parity basis. So if you look at from an operating cost perspective, both the refineries are quite competitive with respect to the operating costs, because we are one of the most efficient, cost-effective refineries on the global circuit as far as re-export is concerned. That's why we are in a position to operate even when the white premiums fall down in comparison to our high-cost competitors who are there in the rest of the region. With respect to the other point that you mentioned, the losses that what you identified are more related to one-off incidents that were related. One was related to the couple of safety incidents that occurred, and the other one was with respect to the discrepancy on the stock that we had to take a write-off. So they are more of one-off nature and not on a continuing operating basis of the business. So I hope I have addressed your concerns as far as our position vis-à-vis the rest of the industry.
Just a follow-up, sir. So if we have a locational disadvantage, so any plans in the future to shift the refinery plant to any other location on the West Coast?
Asset of such mammoth size, relocation itself is a 2-year time frame. Not running the business for a year will double the loss what we are having today. So that thought is completely ruled out. So we have to see how do we explore the opportunities, having known the disadvantages of being in the East Coast. That's where the collaboration with the trade houses which need sugar from the East Coast is also being thought through. So those are the ones which will help us in trying to augment our capabilities and build better value for the business.
Okay. So basically, how do you think these partnerships are going to help us in refineries, only on the trade side, or any strategic benefit also we are going to get?
Can you please repeat on that?
So I just wanted to understand how the partnership in refineries are going to benefit us in the future. So
Yeah.
Why do we think that we can recover the earlier losses and then turn around this business with the partnerships that you are seeing?
See, before that, we should also understand this refinery has got a history. The majority, 60-70% or 75% of the losses accumulated is on account of the fact that the refinery could not operate after it was commissioned for want of gas. After the fifth or sixth month of operation, the gas became dry, So the business did not operate for 4 or 5 years. It restarted in 2014 with a costly proposition of coal. So that is what it is being operated today. So those are the disadvantages inherent in the business. Now even today gas is not available. If at all it is made available also, it is not cost competitive as compared to the coal. So we have to see, despite this disadvantages, the operation part of the refinery, we are one of the lowest cost refiners in the world. So that is where the strategic advantage lies for anybody who wants to source sugar from this side of this country. Coupled with this is, there are, as I mentioned in the starting, there are opportunities to see how do we leverage the sourcing from Brazil and also selling it to various institutions across the world in container mode by making containers available at Kakinada. These are certain strategies which are being evaluated and try to see how do we bring in our expertise as well as the expertise of the international trade houses and then try to create value for the business and turn it up.
Just one last follow-up, sir. So what would be the white premium spreads in this quarter and also what would be our conversion cost per ton?
For the first quarter, is that what your question?
Yeah, for this first quarter. Yes.
Yeah, first quarter.
Last year.
Yeah. First quarter, our spreads were in the region of $55, and first quarter operating cost is high, basically on account of the fact that we had a shutdown for close to 40 days. So the operating cost on a per ton basis would be close to around $53-$54 during this period, which is not representative because of the fact that it was during a shutdown period.
Okay, so if we remove the shutdown period on a normalized basis, how much would that be?
Yeah, we should the current basis around $45 to $50 would be the range of operating costs.
Okay. Yeah, thanks. That's it for my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for their closing comments. Thank you and over to you all.
Yeah, thank you all for the participation and your insightful questions. We'll see you in the next investor call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.